2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. We then, as workers together with him. Now let me say, as we get into this, wow. As we get into this, sometimes they kind of look at this passage as just for preachers. I think, and I've studied words, I've studied a lot in here, and I can see that that's not really what it's dealing with. And there's no sense just dealing with the preachers if the congregation don't live right too. And that's what it's dealing with on the name of the church. And so I believe that this subject matter that Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Ghost of God, to deal with in the church of Corinth is how that they need to maintain a good, respectable kind of a position in their community. A good name, the Bible says in Proverbs, a good name must be chosen. You got to choose. You got to do something to have a good name. You're going to have to choose. Every choice you make determines what kind of name you're going to have. And so that's what this is about. And I believe it considers all the people. It says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, and in fastings. Let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, help us tonight, Lord, as we look at these great truths of responsibility, whereas we hold the name of the church, the reputation, the way that the community looks at it in our lives, in our conversation. And I pray in Jesus' name we'd take this passage seriously. Lord, how we, Lord, must consider these things in everything we do. Every business transaction, everything we say in the community reflects back on your church. And I pray it help us to believe that, receive that, and act accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm looking down at verse 3, really is where the text is what I want to deal with. There on down to verse 5. And, of course, we won't get into all the way to verse 5 because it's dealing with patience and everything. And but I want to look at this for a few minutes and thinking about how we are responsible. He says, given no offense. And he says, it gives you the reason in anything that the ministry be not blamed. This is speaking of the ministry being discredited, losing its good name, the ministry being scorned because of the manner of lifestyle, or because of something that somebody's done in the church. The word in here, offense, if you want to look it up, I could give you the number. It means sin. That's what it means. That word offense means sin. And so it's speaking of that the church is blamed. The church is discredited. The church loses its reputation. The church actually, it means to destroy confidence in the church. Think with me, and this is puzzling for me. this part of it, what I'm going to say now. How come it applies to only the church that's really trying to put on a good testimony in the community? You tell me why. You tell me how many Baptist churches, any other spiritual church, could operate if as high as 60% of the preachers were sodomites. Now, I want to know. That's puzzling me. How come? How come they get by with it? And the press don't say anything? The press don't, and they know it. They know that high as 60% of the priests in the Catholic Church are sodomites. And you've read over the last 20 years all the different dioceses, all the different districts and areas where they had, where there's each one is set up, different dioceses or areas that they cover, that church is responsible for. And my lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, some of them have hundreds of little boys that they molested. And they still have church. And the press don't say nothing. Very little. No condemnation. I'm saying, if we had that in our denomination, in our group, you know, how far would we get? I'm saying to you, these mega churches that have little or no biblical standards and play rock music so loud the elderly people can't hardly take it. I've had them say it to me. I don't know why our church plays music so loud, and I've asked the song leader why, and he says, well, the young people like it, and you're going to have to, you know, put up with it. And I had a guy that owned a business up here, went to a church, and they all of a sudden got a new youth leader and a song leader, and he started putting on a show. You have people come up, and they sing and dance and all this stuff, and, you know, and sway, and they're supposed to be the leaders. If you've seen churches that really tried to have a spiritual, godly reputation in the community, what would you think would be in the papers tomorrow if I got them up here with a rock band and dancers and all that stuff? What do you think would be said? Boy, Midway's now really turned it on. They would. They would. I'm telling you. It's amazing how a lot of these churches get by with it and why they're not condemned for their sin in their church. Did you ever think of it? And they keep a good reputation. Man, that's a good church. We have a lot of fun. Man, we do this and this. And you know, if you went and watched how they come out of the church dressed, say, oh my soul. You know, and they call them a church, and they're dressed like a bunch of street urchins. I'm saying to you, how do they get by and keep a good name? But I'm saying to you, if one in here messes up bad, the rumor mill grinds, buddy. I mean, it takes off. Everybody in the community is talking about it. You know, so-and-so over in Midway, you wouldn't believe what they did. Can I say to you, what gives the bad taste to this world about Christianity? It's amazing. They have an expectation. They know what you and I should be, what we claim to be. We claim to be a godly church. We claim to believe in righteous living. And so they're going to hold us accountable to it. You believe you can live righteous? You believe you can live godly? Let's see it. Now, it says here, it's talking about, it says, given no offense, no sin in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Does most churches have a pretty loose policy when it comes to the way that people live? Would you say it was permissive?
Yes.
Hello? Would you say they could about dress any way they want to?
Right.
There's getting to be Baptist churches like that. There's getting to be Pentecostal churches like that. There used to be these old Pentecostals, man. They was dressed here to the ankles, put their hair up. I'm not against them. I appreciate them dressing that way. Used to be the Mennonites used to dress pretty tight.
Yes,
did you notice they're getting looser and looser and looser and looser?
Yes.
To where now the actual denomination head now accepts homosexual marriage. They'll officiate it. I read it in, I think it was in the Way of Life 2-3 weeks ago. They'll officiate it in their churches. See, it's telling you if you say that we believe that a person ought to live godly, you know what the world says? Show me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch. I'm going to be criticizing. I'm going to watch everything you do, every business transaction, everything you got, how to get along with your neighbor, everything in your life. I'm going to watch you. I'm going to watch you like a hawk. Why? Because they want to spoil the name of the church.
Yes.
They want to discredit it. They want to make it to where people have no confidence in it. See, I'm saying to you, it's difficult even to apply this verse to our present day, when the average church has no problem with their people sinning.
Yes.
Am I telling the truth?
Yes.
They have no problem. I challenge you to go to those churches and see how much they preach on repentance. I mean, true repentance. They might say the word once in a while, but they don't use it in the way it's given in the Bible, in what it means, the true meaning of repentance. I'm saying to you, here we go, that you and I are held to a level unaware that we should so live that they see no sin in us.
Amen.
Read your Bible. Given no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. That's what happens to churches. But now, the confidence, you might say, the respect, the expectation of churches are to where most of the time people don't care. We did have, and I think we still maintain, and I've heard it in the last few years still, I've heard where some lady has invited another lady to church, says, well, I don't have any dresses. So that must be out in the community. If you go to Midway, they're going to require you to wear a dress. Have you not heard that? Do you know any other church that's doing that?
No.
I'm not bragging on me. I'm not bragging on Midway. I'm trying to say that this is what the Bible is dealing with, that you and I, if we're going to keep a good name, a respectable name, a name that people can trust in, that they can bring their family in and raise their children up in, and it's not teaching you that you can do anything. Well, Brother Jeff got into it. He did a good job. I mean, he nailed it all. Transgenders, the whole works. I thought, oh, my soul, Brother Jeff. They're going to pick at me, and I don't care. I love what he preached. I listened to it again the other night. I'm going to listen to all of them again and maybe again. I sat down and listened to them. Why? It's like I'm preaching on Sunday night. I don't want it to slip. I don't want to lose what they said. If God sent it, I want to keep it. Saying to you, this is what the world has been doing for years, discrediting the ministry, finding fault with it, picking at it, finding people. If a preacher messes up, there isn't hardly a week that goes by that isn't one somewhere in the United States that a preacher falls. I think there's one called the Ministry Watch. And they'll tell you what preacher, where, how much it was money, what sin he committed, whether he embezzled thousands of dollars off the church or whether he was involved in fornication in the church or whatever he did. And they'll tell you the very details, everything's going on, just why he's charged and all this. They charged one preacher up in, Maine, and then he moved up in Canada. And he hadn't registered as a sex offender. And so they arrested him the other day. He had a pretty big church. And because he didn't register after he moved, and so they charged him. And I guess he's certainly back out of jail now. But I'm just saying, that's, the media picks that up. If you can remember, if you just remember all that you've read in the news and how they treat preachers when they stumble, fall, get into sin. Boy, they splash it up. If Hollywood makes a movie, what is a preacher? He's nothing but a whoremonger. He's nothing but a drunkard. He's this and this. Every time they make a movie of a preacher. Why? They're wanting to blame the church, find fault with the church. They're wanting to show how the church is not to be trustworthy. It doesn't really mean a thing. Those people really don't live that godly, blah, blah, blah. And they do their best to do this, to try to undermine the testimony of the church. Well, why is it we need to keep a good name? Why is it that it's so important to us that we never leave a bad testimony? Do your children and friends keep their eye on this church some way? Are your children watching the members of this church? Grandchildren? Are they watching the members of the church? Can they see H.S. Peach and on hypocrisy? Can they see any hypocrites in Midway? What does it do? David's sin, and I don't like to keep it, I hate to preach on it, but it fits in some of these areas. When David sinned, the prophet Nathan came back and said, David, you know what you did? You know how much damage you did? Yes. You handed their reputation over to the devil, and he's stomping it. You give the heathen a great occasion to blaspheme God. It should be that we do our best to live upright, clean living, and holy before the Lord. I'm saying to you that God expects us to maintain a holy life. The Bible says in Peter, in all manner of conversation. That's what it's saying here. And everything you face, everything you do, everything in your life, we're to set a good testimony to the community. Why? The church, the ministry of the church, the outreach of the church, trying to reach souls, isn't discredited. The church keeps a good name. You've heard me say it. Old preachers used to call it the keeping the church clean. When the church is defiled like Corinth was, amen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they had fornication going on. And in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians, it tells us that, and it's amazing, you read it in chapter 5, it says, it is reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And the people weren't upset about it. They weren't disturbed. They didn't realize what it was doing to the church. People had, years ago, had such love and respect for the church's reputation in the community, that if you was dragging it down, they'd let you know. If you was setting a bad testimony out there, let me say this to you. They didn't dilly-dally, as they say. They would sit and call you to account, and if need be, you didn't repent, you was out the door. Churches practice discipline. When I was a young man, and I'm saying that they meant what they said, they never allowed you to drag the church down. You're not going to live right. If you had a position in the church, you'd lose it. And if you was a member of the church, you lost your membership. Now, to a Catholic, that's a serious thing. To a Baptist, it's a nothing. He'd just go to another church. But to a Catholic, when they excommunicate you, they're saying you're going to go to hell. Am I not right? And that's what the Catholics teach. Saying we're supposed to be a people that have a love for our church, a desire to keep it clean, and a willingness to stand for it. You and I, we want to invite people to our church. And we don't want to be ashamed when they come through the door of somebody in the church that's not living right. Are they a member here? You know how people watch when certain people come in, different people come in, visitors come in, and they look kind of shady and you know, not dressed right and all that stuff. People begin to look around, especially other visitors, and watching. I'm saying the whole purpose of this thing, of you and I dealing with ourselves, verse number 4 says that all things have proven ourselves. This is where we're going to prove in every way that we are really doing our best to have a spiritual life that passes the test, that we are working on it, and we're dealing with it. And I'm going to deal with these things. Every one of these getting down through verse 5 is talking about just how we react to every situation in these things, whether it be afflictions and necessities and distresses and stripes and imprisonments, tumults, labors, and watchings and fastings. I've been studying that. And every one of them, you've already been tested on how patient you were. You know as well as I do, we always kind of speak lightly about it. But right after you get saved, the first thing they do is test you on a job, see if you lose it, see if you get mad. First thing they'll do. They know how to do it. They want to prove themselves right, that your religion really didn't change you. Boy, Brother Jeff dealt with that change. I just sat there and said, oh, praise God, that's good. That's good. It was right. It's right. A Christian is changed. If he's not changed, he's not a Christian. And it was a great message. I challenge you to get the CD, or you can look it up on Sermon Audio, and you can listen to it yourself again. I don't know what I did. I clicked somehow. I had Jeff in two different churches preaching different messages. There's a little church down in Tennessee, and we've been there. And by the name, it's the same name as the one out here. It's Ridgeview Baptist Church. It's in Tennessee. And Jeff got up, and he's preaching there. And somehow I looked over at it, and I thought when I got that this one would go off, but I didn't. I had both of them going. I said, boy, this is going to be good. I got two messages going one time. Amen. Approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. When the Israelites went up against Ai, you remember what happened, if you've read that account. They lost their strength. And the reason being, and God wouldn't help them. He says, you've got to get sin out of your camp. He wouldn't help. He let men die, good soldiers die because there was sin in the camp. I mentioned 1 Corinthians 5, when there was sin in the church of Corinth. He said, get it out. Have no fellowship with it. Church these people. Get them out. It's ruining your little leaven. Leavens the whole lump. It ruins the whole congregation. Deal with it. That's how strict he wants it. Preacher, you know. Yeah, I know. God help us. What is that song? I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. You're going to see that narrow down more and more. You're going to see the few that's going to be willing to bear a cross, bear the shame, bear reproach. I think that's in, is that in on a hill far away? Old rugged cross. That will bear his reproach. I think it's the last stanza. I think it is. God help us to be willing to do what God wants us to do, to be the saint he wants us to be godly, holy, righteous, and his best. Dennis, his best word.
Our gracious Father.